District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32, by today's business leaders.
I'm Alan Cox, and today I'm here with Jason Pike from Royal Connell. Jason, what inspired you to get into accounting, and is it as boring as some people make out?
I have to admit, there's probably no inspiration, but from a teenage boy who wanted money, I thought, well, there's two forms of getting money. One is to manage it, i.e. being an accountant, or one to make money like a stockbroker. So I went in that general direction and ended up studying accounting and getting into an accounting firm and growing from there. And now I am where I am. Is it as boring as you think? Well, some bits, like everything, there's a bit of monotony about end-on-end tax returns, but I'd suspect a lot of businesses are in a similar boat.
Every business that I'm aware of will have times of repetitive tasks. But I would also have thought that with more reliance now on bookkeeping and it's freeing the accountants up, there's more of a demand for them to be overviewing.
Strategizing, planning, looking at succession, certainly. So it does free us up, and utilizing bookkeepers is very important for that, because we can obviously add value in other ways, such as that, and saving some money.
Tell me about succession.
Running a business, there's always an endpoint somewhere, and it could come tomorrow. So you need to have planned to make sure that you are ready for that to happen at any time. Obviously, the best way to go is to plan your exit. However, there's certainly times where you haven't planned, and there's potentially been a death or a business partner who's said, that's it, I'm out.
So how do you do that? How do you plan for that?
Insurances is certainly one, and then you can be coached through how to getting in a correct structure is also very important. If you're in something in an entity like a company, it's actually reasonably easy, the split, but then there's obviously the running of the business part of it that need to be coached through and potentially managed by getting possibly someone else in. If you're a one-man band, the succession is the sale or moving on to another generation, and that needs to be planned potentially with a step-by-step strategy.
So part of the succession, one bit of the succession, is planning to sell the business at the end of the day.
It certainly is, yes.
I'm assuming you help people do that. As a one-man band, how do I go about preparing to sell the business?
You're going to, first of all, want to value it and have an end goal. So where am I going to end up? Do I want to continue to work for a small period? Do I just want to cut off right now and retire? So you're going to have an end goal. And so then we help you get to that goal. When you say, all right, you want to make sure that you're retiring flat out, but you also have clients that generally have trusted you, and so you want to make the transition good for the clients and for the person buying, because generally there's a lot of clawback, meaning if they lose one of your clients, then you're going to have to pay them back some money.
Oh, I don't like that idea.
No. So if they do lose a client, then you're going to have to pay back some money, so you need to make that transition work.
And part of that would be documentation on processes and procedures. And
yep. We would work with a couple of different advisors to help that strategy get into place. Then the transition would hopefully work.
What are your goals for the future of your business? Yeah,
For Royal Connell, obviously we want to grow with our clients. So we deal a lot with startups, and those businesses, we're helping those businesses get in the right structures from a very early age of business, and help them grow into the future, and we're hopefully going to grow with them.
And by doing that, by getting involved early, you're actually going to be able to help them get it ready for sale even in 20, 30, 40 years time.
Yep, so the getting it done correctly at the beginning helps a lot at the end. Spending maybe a few hundred dollars extra at the beginning, putting it in the right entity, and knowing what your end goal is can save you thousands upon thousands of dollars at the end. So one of my questions when I get a client, probably my second or third meeting, is where are we going and how are we going to get there? and what's the plan that we have to put in place to make sure that we're going in the right direction.
And this brings us to planning and knowing the deadlines.
Yes, certainly.
So what deadlines are you talking about and how can we plan for them?
I'm talking about the tax deadlines, really. There's an individual tax deadline, which is the 31st of October, but that's only if you do your tax yourself. But for going through a tax agent, the deadline's actually the 15th of May the following year. So the extra time that you've got can obviously ease the stress of this current tax time or the next.
So that would obviously include the BAS.
So the BAS is a GST, yep. So every quarter you need to know that it's the 28th day of the month after the quarter. However, if you do go through your BAS or tax agent, you've actually got an extra 4 weeks to lodge your BAS, and therefore, obviously, gives you extra time to lodge and pay.
When you talk about plan the deadlines, how do you suggest go about that?
Plan around them. So get a tax plan, first of all, done by your accountant. That'll give you, first of all, it'll ease the cash flow. You'll know how much tax you're going to pay. And then you'll be able to plan around when you can pay that tax. Generally, if you're earning at least a little bit of money, you're...
Hopefully we are.
Generally, you're on pay-as-you-go installments every quarter with your BAS, and so you can plan around how much you're going to pay, maybe even vary it to increase your cash flow on different times of the year.
So vary it down.
Vary it down if you have to, or if you are going to pay a lot in the following year, you can... you'll realise that and then move on and not lodge until 15th of May, but make sure that you've got that cash available and so you can plan when to lodge those returns, and therefore you can pay, maybe even get an arrangement with the ATO complete.
So you're actually talking about your annual tax that you pay, not the BAS.
Well, there's two different types of tax, Alan. There's GST.
Yep.
And that's paid every quarter or month, depending on how big you are. And so that GST is due every quarter and payable at that time. Whereas income tax, that tax is due once a year and generally once you complete your tax return.
Is there any software that helps you plan these things?
There are certainly plenty of softwares out there. Accounting softwares, from free softwares to very much paid softwares. MYOB is obviously the most well-known, and Xero is a very close second. And you would using those softwares can help figure out how much you have to pay, and with help from your bookkeeper or accountant, can then tell, you'll be able to know how much and at what time you'll have to pay those as well. The BAS is... those softwares are generally very good for BAS, and they can help your accountant at the end of the year to complete your returns.
Okay. And the idea with BAS is don't spend the money. Or with your tax, for that matter.
Well, the good thing about having the money, it's yours, really. And I would use that money.
Oh, that's interesting. Even the BAS.
If it's in your hand, it's yours. But just be wary that you do have to pay it at the end of the quarter. So use the money in your pocket, but be wary you have to pay. So there's many different ways of doing it. Some people would prefer to put it into a different bank account. So 10% of this invoice I'll put into a bank account. That's perfectly good as well. But you can use that money in there to earn interest. So use the money.
So don't use it, don't necessarily spend it.
That's right.
Use your advisors. I'm assuming you mean like tax type accountants, bookkeepers.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Obviously, from my end, yes. Use your advisors. As a small business, you need to be able to trust the people who are advising you. Trust those people around you and trust your business network. And from a tax point of view, trust your accountant. that they are doing the right thing by you, and that they're actually going to do things in your benefit.
Trust is a big thing.
It is, and it's huge in the finance game because and accountant tax wise because we know a lot of personal information. So you definitely need to know and trust your accountant. And if you don't, are you really in the right spot?
How can you go about finding out if you can trust them?
By knowing them, first of all. You wouldn't be doing business if you don't know and like them, first of all. So definitely get to know them, have a relationship with them. And once you have that relationship, you can test it, I suppose. You can test the relationship. Personal references are good, referees. So if you – a lot of our business is through referrals that we have been able to do a good job for a client and they can then refer us on to a new client. Those clients obviously will trust us based on a good reference.
So referrals is obviously a very good way to go.
It certainly is. Generally, those referrals come from someone you personally trust already.
If you want to do your due diligence, you can check with the tax department, with the CPA, mm-hmm. the governing bodies.
If you're audited by the ATO, generally the audits go per tax agent. So unless there's something obviously a huge error in your return that you've already done, generally if the ATO are auditing you, they may be auditing other people in that firm.
If you get audited, that's a real alarm bell.
It's an alarm bell, but don't be
paranoid
about that because everyone should be getting audited every so often. But if there's a lot of clients in the one tax agent that's being audited, then there could be some alarm bells there.
Okay.
Use your bookkeepers as well. Bookkeepers are a great source of advisory because not only are they cheaper than an accountant, but they can help in those minor areas, data entry and doing your BASs. And that leaves your accountant able to add on more value, such as structural issues and complex tax issues. We work really well with bookkeepers.
So really what you're saying is that if you use your bookkeeper, if you get a good bookkeeper and you listen to what they say, you will be able to invest as the accountant more time in helping them look after their business.
That's right.
The helicopter view of the business, yeah. Rather than
perfectly
from inside.
Said. Yes.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio Business Experts. 20 past the hour, every hour, Monday to Friday. On District 32. The power of connection.